Hebrews 11.
Hebrews chapter 11. I apologize, that PA was not on this morning. We've got it now. Hebrews chapter 11. Let's read verse 11. Hebrews 11, verse 11. One verse. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him, God, faithful, who had promised. Through faith, Sarah also. I know of at least one person in here who will be probably listening very well. Sarah. We looked at the stories of four men, four different men, Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham. Now, we're going to look at this woman, story of a woman named Sarah, the wife of Abraham. Now, this is an actual story, true story. But this is also a spiritual story. This is my story. This is your story. This is our story. This is how the Lord saves every believer. Now, verse 11 says, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed. Through faith also Sarah. Up in verse 6 it says, without faith it's impossible to please him. He that cometh to God, anyone going to approach God, know God, worship God, live with God someday, must believe that he is. And we studied Abel. By faith, Abel. By faith, Enoch walked with God. By faith, Noah. By faith, Abraham. We studied these. We saw what faith is, didn't we? Do I need to tell it again what faith is? Yes, I do. Faith is, it said there, believing he is. Believing God is God. Believing God is God. Apparently, evidently, Sarah believed. Eventually believe that God is God, holy, sovereign. She's in his hands. That God who worketh all things for her. That's the thing that makes God God more than anything else, you know? Not just the creation, but who worketh all things after the counsel of his will. There's only one God, and he does as he will. That's what makes him God. You know that? Sarah believed God will work. Eventually she believed that. She believed God's word. She didn't understand it. No man can understand the works of God. They're past finding out. But by his grace we believe. She believed God. She believed his word. She not only believed God is God, she believed God. Whatever God said, she believed. That's faith. That's faith. Faith is to believe God's Son. Sarah believed the Christ. Sarah's hope of salvation was in the Christ. Is that right? So where do you get that? From Christ himself. Who said, this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. Because no man comes unto the Father but by me. No man. Abel couldn't. Enoch couldn't walk with God unless he believed Christ. Noah couldn't. Abraham couldn't. And nor could Sarah. She must trust the Christ of God. Is that right? Christ said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. You say, how did Sarah know Christ? Same way we do. The Word of God. Through the pictures of the lambs killed and the Word being preached to her. Right? Sarah heard the same gospel. And I'm not going to go back and preach what Adam did to Abel and Enoch and so forth. Well, she heard the same message, Brother Stan, didn't she? She heard about the shedding of blood, no remission. Maybe I will preach it again. But she believed Christ. Yes, she did. She didn't know His name was Jesus. But she looked to the coming Christ who would bear her sin, who would be her substitute and her righteousness. Is that right? Yes, it is. Old Testament saints are saved the same way that we are. Yeah, they are. So by faith, Sarah also. Sarah also. All right. Where does faith come from? Let's look at it again. Verse 11. One verse, but it's very plain, isn't it? Through faith also Sarah herself received strength. Scripture says, by grace are you saved through faith. And that is what? Not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, lest any man should boast. Nobody's going to say, well, I've just up and decided to believe you one day. No, the only reason anybody believes God is God gives them that faith. The only reason anybody believes God's Word is because God gives them that faith. The only reason anybody trusts Christ alone is because God gives them that faith. So Sarah also received the same faith that Tammy, Joe did, that Amy did, that Barbara did, that Rebecca did, that Robin did, that Vic, that every woman in here who believes received strength, received faith. A man can receive nothing, John said, except what? Except it be given from above. Receive something is to receive it, is it? Huh? You don't work for it. You don't obtain it. You don't go after it. Receive it. Faith's the gift of God. The gift of God. The work of God. The working of His mighty power, Ephesians 1:19 said. Those who believe, believe according to the working of His mighty power. How is Sarah going to believe the unbelievable? How is Sarah going to believe the impossible? How is Sarah going to believe God who she's never seen? How? It's a miracle. It's a powerful work to make a flesh and blood person believe something they can't see, touch, haven't actually heard with these ears, seen with these eyes. It's a miracle, supernatural work, the work of God. So Sarah received strength. Being past age, now look at this. She was delivered of a child when she was past age. This story is going to make it clear to us that it was impossible for her to have a child. Right? God's Word is going to say several times, there's no way that this woman could have a child. No way that her and her husband could have a child. No way. She was past age. God's Word makes it very clear that with her it was impossible. Now go back to Genesis 17. Now we're going to stay over in Genesis 17. Here's the story of Sarah. Genesis 17. And see, salvation, the whole story of salvation through God's book, God's Word is very plain to tell us that with man, it's impossible. Salvation is impossible. With man, it's not of him that willeth. It's impossible. Not of him that runneth. It's impossible. Not of him that figureth God out. It's impossible. With man, it's impossible. He's dead in sin. Salvation is called this. It's called regeneration. The creation of new life. Not physical life, spiritual life. Salvation is... Now here's the whole key to the understanding this, the story. Are you with me? Salvation is Christ in us, our hope of glory. Christ in us by faith. In our mind, in our heart. A new creature created in us. In Christ Jesus, unto good work. all things passed away. Everything become new in Christ. In Christ. Paul says this over and over, doesn't he? Throughout his epistle. In Christ. In Christ. In Christ. In Christ. And Christ in you. He said, God revealed His Son in me. In me. In me. Sarah, it's impossible for her to have a baby. God says, you're going to have a baby. But it's impossible. Who's going to put a baby in her? It's impossible with her, but God's going to do it. He's going to create something in her. He's going to generate life in her. From her dead womb, God's going to create life. This is the story of salvation. Now, what a picture Abraham is of Christ. God made this covenant with Abraham. Sarah was chosen in him. Wasn't she? Oh, yeah. Sarah sure was blessed to be married to Abraham, wasn't she? Oh, what a picture of Christ Abraham is. God came to Abraham. God spoke to Abraham. God made this covenant with Abraham. God told Abraham all things, and Sarah was married to him, so she got the blessing too. That's a picture of Christ and His church, His people, His bride, is it not? All the blessings of God are in Christ Jesus for His people, for His church. But we're not going to dwell on Abraham as a type of Christ. We're going to look at him as just a man. All right? But he's a type of Christ nonetheless, because he joins with Sarah. He joins himself to Sarah. God, in a covenant through the power of God, told Abraham to go into his wife, and through Abraham she conceived seed. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in us. Christ travailed in birth till he was formed in us. Reproduced himself in Sarah. All right, now let's look at it. Genesis 17, verses 15 through 17. God said unto Abraham, God is speaking to Abraham, as for Sarai, thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai. The word means dominant. But Sarah shall her name be, princess. Sarah means princess. God said, I will bless her, and I'll give thee a son by her, also of her. Yea, I will bless her. She'll be mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. Then Abraham fell on his face before the Lord to worship, and he laughed. Now, Abraham wasn't laughing, that is, through unbelief. Abraham wasn't saying, this is, no, I don't believe this. He wasn't laughing at God. Oh, no, no. He's rejoicing. Laughter of amazement. The laughter of marveling. Of rejoicing. This is the laughter that Abraham laughed. He said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that's 100 years old? Shall Sarah that's 90 years old bear? You see, because the Lord didn't reprove him for laughing, did he? The Lord didn't say, why are you laughing? No. This was a rejoicing. Abraham believed God. God had already appeared to him and spoken to him years before that. And he appeared again and spoke to him. I believe it was Christ himself. And he laughed. God said, Sarah, thy wife shall bear a child. I'm going to bless her and bless you. And all the blessings of the Lord are going to be for you and your wife and the seed to follow Abraham. Oh, he thought that was wonderful. He laughed. He said, "Can this be? How can this be? It seems so impossible." I remember. Now, Sarah may have heard him laughing. Sarah wasn't there when the Lord was telling him this. But I'm certain that Abraham went back and told Sarah. Aren't you? He came in the tent laughing, honey. The Lord came to me. He's laughing. He's smiling. He's happy. And you laugh when you're happy, don't you? Oh, listen, the Lord has reconfirmed to us, to me. We're going to have a child. He's laughing. I remember as a child, and Sarah doesn't understand this. I don't think she believes it. We're going to see in a little while. She doesn't believe it. And Abraham's, he's so happy. He's laughing.
She doesn't understand that laughter.
I remember as a child, and I've told you this, but I remember it distinctly. We would go attend Bible conferences, meetings, and there was an old fella, well, he was old to me from a child, he, about my age
then, probably. I thought he was old.
He didn't have much hair like me, but what he had was white, Henry. And he'd always sit up about where Margie is there, and I'd sit down front where my dad had me, where my mother. And old Brother Henry Breedlove was his name. He didn't preach in those conferences. He didn't preach much, but he went wherever the preaching was. Oh, he loved it. He loved the gospel. And he'd sit behind me, and the preacher would be preaching, and I'd hear him behind me going, ha, 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 ha. I remember thinking, what's he laughing at? I did not hear the preacher tell a joke. Oh, he did that all the time. In the course of a message, the preacher would say something, old Brother Henry, I thought, this is what's wrong with this man. My cousin and I, who just a few months younger than I, we'd sit together and we'd both just laugh at him for laughing. He's rejoicing. Psalm 126 is a wonderful psalm. It says, the Lord hath filled our mouths with laughter. He said, the Lord hath done wonderful things for us, whereof we're glad. He filled our mouths with laughter. See, I didn't understand what old Brother Henry was laughing at.
I do now. See, I'm laughing.
Sarah didn't understand. Abraham laughed. Go over to chapter 18. She's going to laugh. She's going to laugh. Chapter 18. Now the Lord comes again to Abraham to deal with him, to confirm his covenant. See, this is significant. The Lord speaks through men. The Lord speaks through men. Sarah overheard what the Lord said to Abraham. You're going to hear it through a man. Except when he convicts you of your sin, and then you're going to think, he's talking right to me. In chapter 18, verse 1 and 2, the Lord appeared unto Abraham in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. He lifted up his eyes and looked. Lo, three men stood by. Ah, the Lord comes to those that are looking for him. The Lord will appear to those that look for him. To those that seek me early shall find me, he said. Lo, three men stood by him, appeared unto him. How did he know one was the Lord? The Lord reveals himself to his people. All right? Three men, one Lord. Does that remind you of a story anywhere? Peter, James, and John. The Lord took them up on a mountain, and in a vision they saw three men, Elijah, Moses, and Jesus.
But one Lord.
And they began to speak to and be spoken to by one Lord. Oh, that's beautiful. But verses 3 through 5. Now, verse 2, it says, Abraham ran to meet them. He couldn't get to them fast enough. This is the Lord. It's come to be with me. He ran to meet him and bowed down. He is in a hurry to worship. He's so glad to see the Lord. He ran to meet him, bowed down himself toward the ground. Verse 3, and said, my Lord. See, he's speaking to one of them. Three men, he's speaking to one. I believe this is the Lord Jesus Christ himself, who delighted to dwell in the habitable parts of the earth with the sons of men, there in Proverbs 8. My Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, oh, don't leave me. Does this sound like another story? The disciples on the road to Emmaus, walking along, talking, all of a sudden the Lord appeared. And He began preaching to them, and they said, "Don't leave. Oh, don't stay. Let's eat. I got to hear some more of this." Abraham said, "I pray thee, don't leave. Don't pass away from thy servant. Oh, pass me not, O Lord and Savior." Verse 4, "Let a little water, I pray thee, pray you be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree. I'll fetch a morsel of bread, comfort your heart. After that you shall pass on. For therefore, you've come to me. You've come to your servant. You've appeared to me. Here you are." And I'm so happy, so glad. Would you just stay a little while, just an hour, and I'll go get bread, and we'll sit down, and we'll sup together. That's what He's saying.
And though they said, "Do as you've said. According to what you look for is what you get. What you get."
My father told me this story again while we were in Florida. I've heard it many times, but I've forgotten it. It's a good one. Said years ago, back when Charles Spurgeon was preaching back in the 1800s, a woman came to the services somewhere and didn't know that Spurgeon was going to be there. For some reason he turned up. She didn't know he was going to be there. She came that day to worship. And the Lord blessed Brother Spurgeon to preach with great power, and the woman was so blessed to hear of Christ. Oh, she was so blessed to hear about Christ. Well, that night she heard Spurgeon was going to be somewhere else. So she went to where he was going to be. She went to hear Spurgeon. And she went there, and after the message was over, she's real disappointed. She's real disappointed. She was talking to someone, the pastor. She was talking to the pastor after service and said, "You know, I heard Brother Spurgeon this morning, and I was so blessed. But tonight, I just didn't get anything out of it." And the man said, "Well, why did you come this morning? Why did you go to the house of worship this morning?" "Oh," she said, "I came to worship the Lord. Came to hear from the Lord. Or hear from His Word." We said, "Well, why did you go to church that night?" She said, "I went to hear Brother Spurgeon." He said, "Well, you got what you came for then, didn't you?" And she went to hear from the Lord, and she heard. She went to hear Spurgeon, and she heard Spurgeon. You heard him. Just a man, isn't it? Abraham, oh my. He wanted to hear from the Lord. He was in a hurry. He believed, he worshiped, he loved the Lord. He rejoiced to sup with the Lord. And he got what he asked for. "Oh, would you just hang around and eat with me?" Oh, did he. And oh, did he hear a message. I got to go on. And so it is with every believer. Two or three are gathered. That's where the Lord is. He said, "I stand at the door and knock. Whoever opens, I'll come in and sup with them. Whoever's hungry and thirsty, I'll come in and sup with you." Verse 6 says, "Abraham hastened into the tent unto Sarah and said, 'Make ready quickly 3 measures of fine meal. Knead it. Make cakes upon the hearth.'" Verse 7, "Abraham ran unto the herd and fetched a calf, tender and good, gave it unto the young man." He said, "Hurry, get it." Sounds like Abraham is in a hurry. Yeah, the Scripture says, "Thy children shall make haste." In other words, if somebody really believes that the Lord's going to be somewhere, If somebody really believes, they'll make haste to believe. In other words, they won't put it off. Like old Agrippa, almost thou persuadest me. Oh no, if the Lord persuades you, you'll cast yourself on Christ right then and there. Not, well, maybe someday when I get ready. Oh no, you'll run to Christ for mercy. He hastened, and Abraham's full of hospitality. Do you notice that? He didn't. When these strangers appeared to him, he didn't know it was the Lord from afar, did he? He's given to hospitality. This man entertained angels, didn't he? And nothing was too great for him. Kill the best calf, honey. Hurry. Make some homemade bread. 3 loaves. He didn't eat any of it. It's for the Lord and the 2 angels. He ran. He couldn't get to the Lord fast enough. He couldn't give him enough. He couldn't do enough. He was so happy that the Lord was there. Nothing was too much to give. He was generous. He was in a hurry. This man's sincere, isn't he? Huh? How do you know he believed? How do you know he... Lord, unto whom much is forgiven, they'll love much. I love much. Whoever you love, you'll climb the highest mountain to see them. You'll swim the deepest sea. Yeah, you will. If you love somebody, won't you? Spending time with them not long enough. And giving them, you don't have enough money to give to them. Do you? You love somebody. Abraham loved the Lord. Oh, generous. In a hurry to worship Him. Sarah, now. Not Sarah. Apparently she didn't believe yet. Or at least she didn't have the enthusiasm that Abraham did. Did she? The Lord said in verse 9, "Where is Sarah, thy wife?" And Abraham said, "She's in the tent." Kind of like Martha, I guess, preparing. She's doing what she's... But she hangs around the tent. After it's over, she stays in the tent. Doesn't she? After she's fixed the bread, she stays in the tent. She's busy. She's occupied. She's hanging around. But she's really not that interested in what these men have to say. I preach to Sarahs all the time. Who, though they're present where the Lord is, who, though they may be the wife or the daughter or the friend of an Abraham, yet not that interesting. I preached to some male Sarahs. Didn't have to be female only. Male. But they're hanging around, but not laughing. Not too enthused. More occupied with other things. Oh yeah, busy, cumbered about.
Well, she's going to hear. She's going to hear. Bless God.
Bless God for His mercy and His grace and His revealing truth. She's going to hear. She's not interested now. She's going to be. She's going to laugh. I just laugh. She's going to laugh. She's going to laugh. She doesn't see what Abraham's so excited about. She doesn't believe it. She's going to. Bless God, she's going to. She's going to fear. She's going to hear and fear. She's going to believe and conceive. She's going to rejoice in God her Savior. Lord said, verse 10. Here's what the Lord said. Sarah's in the tent. The Lord's saying this to Abraham. The Lord said, "I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life, and lo, Sarah thy wife shall have
a son. I will, and Sarah shall, the Lord says. Well, she's in there, she's not interested. Now, the Lord didn't say to Abraham,
would you please go plead with your wife? Would you please ask her to do us a favor by attending this service? We can't
be a church without Sarah. After all, we need her. She's a one.
Oh, no.
The Lord is just saying, I will, and she shall. She's in the tent now. Apparently not too interested. She's going to laugh at me at first. But according to my holy name, I will, and she shall be interested in what she... She's going to conceive. She's dead. Her womb is dead. I'm going to put life in her. I will and she shall. Oh, good God, he'd say that to a dead Sarah this morning. He must do it. Abraham can't plead. The angels can't plead. Only the Lord must say, I will and she shall. She'd been hearing this for years from Abraham, hadn't she? Abraham been trying to tell her. The Lord's going to have to speak to her. Let's convict her of what she is. And speak to her directly. Right now he's speaking indirectly. Through a man. But it's the Lord speaking. Verse 11. Sarah, verse 10. Sarah heard it in the tent door. She's behind him. We read over there where it said Abraham stood before the Lord. The face. He stood face to face with the Lord. He saw the glory of God in the face. I mean, she's behind him. Behind him. She's got to stand before him. Got to stand before him. Verse 11, now Abraham, now look now the Lord, the word goes on, it makes it very clear that Sarah can't have a baby, or Abraham. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. She's 90 years old. She can't have a baby. She can't conceive. Why? They probably haven't had relations for years. She's 90 years old. He's 100. Huh? It's impossible. Her womb is dead. She has no joy in these things. But Sarah, it's impossible, isn't it? She has no pleasure. She hadn't had pleasure like that for years, probably. Because they said that, didn't they? We have pleasure again? Let alone conceive and bear a child and fruit and be a nurturing mother and all things become brand new. Boy, if you have a baby, everything changes, doesn't it? Huh? You're not yourself anymore. You've lived for that person. What a picture of the gospel that is, huh? What a picture of regeneration that is, huh? When Christ is revealed to you, boy, you're not yourself anymore. You don't live for yourself anymore. She has up to this point, Barbara. She's selfish. She's for herself. Oh. She's dead. She's not interested. She does. It's impossible. With Sarah, it's impossible. Neither can we. Neither can we. I can't make one person interested in this gospel. I can't make one person believe. Neither can you. We try, don't we? We talk to our children. We talk to our husbands and wives. We talk to our friends till we're blue in the face. Literally, I'm turning blue right now. In other words, we talk so fast we don't breathe. Don't you understand? Don't you understand? No, they won't until the Lord makes them understand. They can attend, like me, attend church all their lives. Hear it all their lives from Abraham's. But until the Lord Himself speaks and convicts, then they won't hear it. It's impossible. Can an 18-year-old boy, can a 19-year-old boy who's got his whole life ahead of him, who's interested in everything and anything but God, can he possibly turn from a course pursuing this world to an unseen God? Can a young lady who's got all her life, who's thinking about houses and babies and this and that and the other, possibly put all that aside in favor of her heart set on one thing? Can that be possible? With man, it's not. It's not possible. Not possible for a teenager to be interested in God, let alone a 75-year-old man. But God. With God, all things are possible. Abraham's proof in it. Can a person worship idols for 75 years, think they know God, believe God, we're saved, and God make them lost and renounce all that they used to believe and confess Christ brand new? You bet. Ask Abraham. Ask Saul of Tarsus. With Sarah, it's impossible. Verse 12. So Sarah laughed within herself. That is, privately, inside. She didn't do it out loud. She's sitting in the tent, and she's hearing this. She's not interested, but she's hearing it. She's interested in that, so she's out there. But she's hearing it, and the Lord said this, I will, and Sarah shall. I remember laughing one time when I was a kid. My cousin and I, that I told you about, were sitting in a pew cutting up. Oh, I wish I'd never laughed. I never laughed again after that.
Oh, man, my dad saw me. I've seen the same thing among our young people and even adults. I see them come in and sit and listen and kind of, you know, interestingness and laugh about something while the life or death's being proclaimed from the pulpit. But their life hangs in the balance. The man's telling them the only hope there in that person sitting there laughing, cutting up, playing around, you know, and all that. I did the same thing. All of a sudden, one day. Sarah laughed within herself. She didn't believe. He laughed. Verse 13. The Lord said unto Abraham. Now he's speaking unto Sarah, but he's doing it through Abraham. He said in verse 13, why did Sarah laugh? What's she laughing about? What the Lord say? What's she got to laugh at? Sarah heard that. Sarah heard that.
How did he hear me laugh? She's thinking that. I didn't laugh out loud. And she said that in a minute.
She said, I didn't laugh. She didn't laugh out loud. She did it within herself. Didn't she tell it? That's what it said. Within herself, she thinks. I don't believe that. She's laughing. She's not interested. Within herself. The Lord, the Scripture says, the Word of God is quick, it's powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword, able to pierce asunder to the dividing of the thoughts and intents of the heart. It's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. When God Almighty finally speaks to someone, it's like He's speaking out loud to you. Does that happen to you? Did that happen to you, Juanita? One day, finally, it's like God Almighty, through His Word,
What do you left them at? It's too serious. Something funny here. This struck fear in her heart. The Lord read her thoughts, her mind. The Lord knew everything about her. And the Lord, God, bless God, He loved her. First thing He's going to do, though, is strike fear in her heart. Who do you think you are? Laughing. Not interesting. Huh? Do I have to have mercy on you because you're married to Abraham? Do I have to have mercy on you because you're the daughter of so-and-so or son of so-and-so? Do I have to save you because you're mama, because you're daddy, because you're husband? Because... No! What are you laughing at? Now, the Lord's still speaking. Why did Sarah laugh? Why did Sarah laugh? Verse 14. The Lord says, is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. I will, and she shall. And what am I laughing at? The Lord's going to turn her unbelief into believing laughter. Huh? Now she's afraid. Look at verse 15. It says, Sarah denied, saying, I, now she comes out. Now she comes forward, doesn't she? She comes out now. The Lord brings her, I believe, face to face with Him now. She's in the tent. Now she's come a little closer. She heard this. She heard it. Pricked her in her heart. He's reading my thoughts. And she came out front and center to face before the Lord. And He said, why did you laugh? And she said, I didn't laugh. Yes, you did. She's afraid, He said. What's the beginning of wisdom? When does the Lord start to reveal Himself to somebody? Huh? When is the Lord going to save somebody? What is the first thing He does? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. When the Lord knocks out somebody's props out from under them. Like Saul, brings them off their high horse. Everything, everybody, they trusted takes it away. Themselves. Reveals to them, you've been laughing all this time. You've been not been interested. For it strikes fear. Who am I to not be interested? Huh? Why did I tarry all this time? Why did I not believe Abraham? Fear. She's afraid, Nancy. She's afraid. She's fearful. The Lord's going to kill me for laughing. And He said, yes, you did. You laughed. Nay, but thou didst laugh. So the Lord leaves. That's all He said to her, Tammy. You laughed. No, I didn't. Yes, you did. And He leaves. That's all He says to her. Abraham comes back home in a little while. There's a whole city been destroyed. Sodom. Lot's wife, her sister-in-law, was consumed by this holy Lord. Are you with me? She saw Lot Sodom burning. Heard about her pillar of salt. The whole city destroyed. Three people escaped for their lives by the mercy and grace of God. The Lord left her. You laughed. That's all He said. Let me tell you the story again. Brother Barnard, years ago, was preaching somewhere, and he was preaching somewhere, and a father and a mother came up to him after the service and said to him, Brother Barnard, our daughter is in a bad way. She doesn't believe this gospel. She's just, She won't listen to us. She's wild. She's got a real problem with her. She's here today. We begged and pleaded her to come. She came. She's here today. But, oh, Brother Barney, would you speak to her? Please. We can't. All right. He's reluctant, but he did. Okay. So the girl was confronted by Brother Barnard, and
all he said to her was, young lady, I want you to go home tonight. And Barnard used to say, I double dog and dare you. That's what he used to say. You go home. I double dog dare you to do this. You go home tonight. And you get in your closet on your knees before a thrice holy God whom you have slighted, not really understand. You get on your knees before God and you ask Him. You ask Him to show you yourself, to show you what you really are. Do it.
That's all He said. Of course, she probably laughed with Him. He didn't laugh at Barnard's face. She laughed within, I'm sure.
But you know what? She did that. The Lord caused her to do that.
Barnard came back in town a few months later. The same parents came up to Barnard and said, Brother Barnard,
you got to speak to our daughter. Ever since you left here, she hadn't been the same. She's broken. She's broken. We can't give her any peace. Whatever you said, we can't give her any hope, any peace.
She won't listen. Would you speak to her?
I said, yeah. And so he spoke to the young lady, and she said, or he said to her, young lady, he said it a little nicer this time. Young lady, I want you to go home tonight. I'm a double dog, dare you. I want you to go home tonight, get on your knees in your closet, and you ask God Almighty, show you His Son.
Nobody, if you don't ask, the Lord's not going to speak to you. He's not. He that asks shall receive. He that seeks shall find. He that knocks shall open, be opened unto. I double dog dare you, Sarah. And I'm speaking to all Sarahs. Male and female. Well, bless God. Barnard came back a couple months later. There sat that young girl on the front row with a big smile on her face. Laughing at the gospel. With the gospel. Rejoicing. The Lord revealed Christ to her. Sarah laughs. Chapter 21. Now, a lot of time went by. She's tore up, isn't she? Huh? A lot of time went by. Let's, and I close with this. Chapter 21, verse 1 says, you got it? And the Lord visited Sarah, as He had said. Said He would, didn't it? He did. The Lord did unto Sarah as He had spoken. Yeah, but Sarah went into Abraham. Come on now. It's impossible. The Lord did it. She called. Yeah, she did, because He called her. She believed. Yeah, she did, because He gave her the gift. She's interested. Yeah, because He was interested in her. The Lord did it. Who gets the glory in this story? Who gets the glory in the story? God does. Do not share His glory with Abraham or Sarah. God did this. Preacher's not going to get it either. Well, how many times I direct a message that there's some people not here I wish were here this morning. They weren't supposed to be here. So many times I've directed a message that, oh, I hope so-and-so hears this, and she or he doesn't, but somebody else does. Because God's not going to share His glory with a preacher. He doesn't know who needs it, thank God. God does. And it says, as He had spoken, Sarah conceived something brand new inside her. A baby. Baby? It's impossible. Yeah, no, no. And the word went out, everybody. Sarah's pregnant. You'll never believe this. Sarah's pregnant. No. You're crazy. Well, yes, she is. 9 months. You'll never believe it. Old Stan Anderson believes the gospel. No. Yeah. He does. No, that's not possible. The Lord visited Sarah and she conceived. See, God will, you shall. If He sets His affection on you, sets His purpose on you. Verse 6 and 7, Sarah said, now, she had a child, named it Isaac. God made me laugh. Verse 6, Sarah said, God had made me to laugh. She's laughing now. What's she laughing at? Oh, she's not laughing at anything. She's rejoicing. I wasn't interested, but oh, bless God, He's interested in me. Oh, I came for years and didn't hear a thing. He should have been done with it all, but blessed be God who had mercy on me and bore with me all these years and finally revealed Himself to me. Whew, man. I thank you, Lord, she said. Everybody's going to laugh with me. Who would have thought it? I love this verse 7. She said, who would have said unto Abraham, Sarah would have given children such? I've borne him a son in old age. If you ever find out that you're a no good sinner before God Almighty,
and God reveals the gospel to you,
you'll say, who would ever thought it? Right, Kelly? Who would ever thought that God would do something for an old sinner like me? Who would have ever said Paul Mahan's interested in the gospel? Not only that, he's preaching it. No way! This is the only way you've ever known me. I went in years ago to Kroger, and I always try to make it a point to dress decently out in public, not, you know, so you won't be ashamed of introduce me or whatever. And one time I was in a real hurry and I went into Kroger and I had a baseball cap on. I tried to disguise myself. Baseball cap, you know, and a Carhartt jacket. Way I dress when I'm at home. And went up to Jill. Oh, hey Jill. Hey. Jill, it's me. Took my hat off. Oh, I didn't recognize you. She, all she'd ever see me in was these clothes. As Tim James used to call it, my uniform. Saw me out of uniform. Me? Oh, no, he's not preaching. Yes, he is. Who'd ever thought it? Who'd ever thought it? Who'd ever thought it? That's what every believer from the heart said. Right, Teresa? Who'd ever thought it? That Teresa Patterson, Sunday and Wednesday, in all her time, sitting in a pew. Who'd ever thought it? That's a miracle. All right. May God reveal Himself to another Sarah. All right, let's sing in closing. Number 235. Would God somebody sing this from the heart? Like Abraham, pass me not. Don't leave. You've spoken to others, evidently. Would you speak to me? Pass me not. 235. Let's stand as we sing. 235. Okay, sure.